Reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. If you want to follow it, it's on page 1065 in the Bibles, in the Pew Bibles. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is already old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of God. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It wasn't me. It was somebody else trying to frighten me. But that's all right. Well, for the next few moments, I want us to listen, or rather reflect on that story that we had a few moments ago. And maybe as you listen to it, you may have had some questions. I mean, after all, you know, here is a story from 2,000 years ago. How can we say it is relevant to us today? Now, the Pharisees were very, very good people in their own day. They really did great works, but they were also strictler for rules. They wanted to make sure that everything was just done right. And not only that, they were very good at pointing fingers at other people. If you didn't wear your clothes right, a Pharisee would tell you, "Now, lady, come on, it's time to get that sorted out. Don't you really? But now, behave yourself, granddad." But there were people like that. And sometimes when you listen to the stories of Jesus, it almost feels like, you know, they were the baddies. No, they were not. They were the goodies. But Jesus often pointed out that in their desire to get everything just right, they forgot about relationship. And sometimes they came out as people who were not very nice to know. And I'm sure you know some Christians that are not very nice to know. Do you? I know some. People who are not easy to get along with and so on. But they are very, very good in their own way. There is always room for improvement. But these were the keepers of the traditions. Always wanted to do what was right. And this guy comes to Jesus at night, Nicodemus. And we hear a conversation, but we do not really understand the context of the whole thing. Just imagine if you are transported back to 2,000 years ago and sat in on that conversation. I wonder what questions you would have. You may, as a child, you may wonder, why are they wearing such long clothes? As we saw in that picture, I am sure they did, because the Bible tells us that they wore long flowing robes, like I do on the 9 o'clock service. I have a nice dress that I wear at 9 o'clock. I didn't dare wear it in this service, but I do, and it's really beautiful. But that's all it is. I wear it because of tradition. I need to wear it because I was given that when I was ordained. But for today, I'm just wearing this, but I've also got something else that is very, very traditional. A dog collar. That actually say, no, oh, sorry. A clerical collar. I'm sorry, yes, you're really... It's a clerical collar. And, well, I do wear it sometimes. I don't wear it all the time. Because I really believe that tradition is good. But we must not be such a sticklers for tradition that we forget to be relevant for today. So I guess the first question that that man may have asked was, I wonder, why did he come at night? Why not in the middle of the day? Maybe he was working. I'm sure if you wanted to see Jesus and you're working, you wouldn't go and see him in the middle of the day, would you? Yes, if you get a bit of time off, yes, you might. But you see, the thing is, if you took time off, you might not get paid. Therefore, you would have to look for a time when you are free to go and see him. There may have been other reasons why he did not want to be seen with Jesus in the daytime. After all, Jesus was a rebel. He was the kind of person that actually in his day, if you were respectable, you did not associate with him. Because after all, look what happened to him. He ended up being killed publicly. So if you knew what was going on, you did not want to get too close to him. And it's very likely that maybe Nicodemus, because he respected himself and was a respectable member of the community, did not feel that he could go to Jesus during the day or even be seen with him. But he did go. And what he says is so important, isn't it? He had observed Jesus. He had seen Jesus from a distance. He had seen what Jesus had done and so on. And he was commenting on what he saw. Therefore, he says to him, Rabbi, that means teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now, if somebody said that to me, I wouldn't know how to respond because I don't perform those signs. But if somebody came to me and said, Francis, you are a good pastor, I might say, yes, I am. I try. I'm very trying, aren't I? I am very trying. Or somebody might come and say, yes, you love people. I do. But Jesus doesn't even concentrate on all that. Instead, he tells him, hey, I think I know why you've come. He tells him, you must be born again. Truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus knew exactly why Nicodemus had come to him. He wanted to know something about where he was coming from and what it was that he was bringing with him. He talked about God. He said, "You are from God." Therefore, he gave him a message from God, and that is, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And of course, that conversation continues, doesn't it? Nicodemus is so concerned about that, he just says, "Well, how can that be? How can that be? I'm old. What you're actually telling me is that I've got to start again." You see, Nicodemus knew about eternal life. There was no question about that. The Pharisees believed that when you died, you went to heaven. So he could understand if Jesus had said, "Now, we are baptizing you today because we want you to go to heaven." He could have understood that. But for him to say, "You must be born again," kind of in one to say, no, that doesn't make sense. And yet it is so true. But actually, today, we are having a new beginning. A new beginning for Cherise. And a new beginning for a few other... It's true, isn't it? Yes, it's going to be a new beginning. Now, no stick. No stick for her. You've got to be kind to her. Because remember, she might not let you stand with her later. And Jesus says, it is a spiritual thing. What we are doing here this morning is a spiritual thing. There will be a lot of physical stuff going on. I won't drown you today. That's all right, isn't it? Yes and no. I'll let you into a secret. Cherise rang me recently, said, "I am concerned about the amount of water you're going to use." She said, one thing she didn't want me to do is to drop her face into the water because she said, "I don't like that." So what I said was, "No, I won't do that." And then she wanted to know whether I was going to pour a whole bucket of water on her or not. And you know what? I told her not. I changed my mind. I won't do that. But it's very, very tempting. It's very, very tempting. After I baptized you, to just pick the bucket and just go, woof, there you are. But I won't do that. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. You can't say that when Nicodemus left that place, he could say, "Now understand what Jesus is all about." He didn't. But he embarked on a journey. He embarked on a journey with a little understanding that he had. And that is all God expects of us. What we hear, what we understand, the little we understand, he expects us to do something about it. Now, let me tell you what happened to Nicodemus. We never see him with Jesus again. Except he speaks out for Jesus once or twice in the Bible. And on the day Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus is the one who goes to the authority and says, "You've killed him. Can I have his body?" He's the one who brings a lot of embalming spices and actually puts Jesus in a grave. You see, when you look at the life of Nicodemus, you may not see a lot in between, but something was going on. Because at the end of the day, when it was really necessary, he stood up for what was right. Now, we are embarking. Now, I'm going to speak to you. Is that okay? You see, you are embarking on a journey of faith. So are we all. In this baptism, it's not just going to be about you. It's about a reminder to us all what baptism is all about. It's a journey. I'll be asking you, do you turn to Christ? Do you submit to Christ? Do you come to Christ? And I hope that as you answer that, all of us will seek to say exactly that. Because we can never turn to Christ enough. There is always opportunity to turn to Christ again and again.